From Charter Hall and Banish, this is Sustainability Further. I'm your host, Lottie DL. You're listening to Sustainability Further, a podcast by Charter Hall. One of Australia's leading property groups, Charter Hall is focused on creating innovative spaces and going further to build a better future for all. The ANSPAC Plastic Pact, officially launched as the 11th Plastics Pact in the Ellen MacArthur Foundation's Global Plastic Pact Network with over 60 founding members in 2021. Angela Mayer is overseeing the delivery of the ANSPAC program, so her day-to-day involves working with some of the biggest creators of packaging, including Woolworths, Nestle, Coles and Coca-Cola, so that they can do better. They've got a very ambitious set of 2025 targets, which include having 100% reusable, recyclable or compostable packaging, and that 70% of plastic packaging will be recycled or composted. In today's episode, we find more about the rollout and how industry is working together. Thank you so much for joining us on the episode today, Angela. I just wanted to first of all ask you, what does the word sustainability mean to you?
Hi, Lottie, and thanks for having me. So I guess as a mom, someone passionate about the environment and a sustainability professional, I constantly negotiate with myself between convenience, which often comes with more waste or other impact on our natural world, and doing the right thing, like making responsible choices when it comes to materials or consumption. It's a constant struggle. And I think environmental sustainability must come with revisiting how we live and consume. We cannot continue with the old thinking of I buy, I use, I dispose of, and I forget about it. We need to move into that more circular thinking of keeping materials out of landfill and in constant use. Same as nature, you know, intended it in the first place, and it's still doing it so beautifully. So to me, sustainability has a lot to do with moving away from focusing on consumption and production, more towards value and meaningful impact. When I became a parent, which is now 13 years ago, I really started worrying about our future and our kids' future. And I see this circular economy approach as a crucial step in helping us to preserve the beautiful nature that we all love.
It's funny that you talked about just kind of how having children has really changed your outlook on sustainability, because I find it's such a kind of a turning point for so many people when you kind of talk to them about what was the catalyst for becoming more sustainable, for really taking it seriously. And it always, well, not always, but it in most cases seems to be around that kind of, well, now that I've got children and I want them to have the environment that I had when I was growing up, or a more precious and a more beautiful one.
Yeah, you become more aware of how precious it is and how much we have to preserve it.
Well, speaking of preserving, you've dedicated your whole career to now doing this. So for our listeners who haven't heard of the ANSPAC Plastic Pact, can you explain a little bit about what it is? Because it's amazing, but I feel like not enough people know about it.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Lottie, for the opportunity. So ANSPAC stands for the Australia, New Zealand and Pacific Islands Plastics Pact. And we are part of this global plastics network, which is created by the Ellen MacArthur Foundation in the UK. And our big common goal is to work towards a circular economy for plastics, where plastics never becomes waste or pollution. So a big goal, but we really want to achieve it. And we want to achieve this by bringing together the individuals and the organizations from across the entire plastics value chain. And by plastics value chain, I mean all the steps and organizations that are involved, from producing plastic packaging to transport, use, collection, processing, and eventually remanufacturing into new products. So every player in this chain has the power to create change. And the most impactful change we will create is by collaborating and talking to each other to find out what really needs to be done. And we at ANSPAC, we want to bring these conversations alive, bring the key players of the regions together and make collaboration and impactful actions happening.
I think it's really exciting and it's really great because you are kind of bringing not only different industries together, but kind of the big players within industries who normally would be a competitor and kind of saying, well, no, look, this problem is bigger than us. And how can we work together to actually fight it? So was this kind of whole thing brought about from government or by industry? Kind of who helped guide this formation?
So as I mentioned before, ANSPEG is part of this Global Plastics Pact network by the Ellen MacArthur Foundation. And they are a very supportive group that helped us set up ANSPEG. And we are in constant exchange of learnings and activities. Here in Australia, New Zealand, and the Pacific Island region, we are lucky because we have a supportive industry, government, and passionate individuals that want to achieve the goal of a circular economy for plastics. So when APCO, the Australian Packaging Covenant Organization, it's a mouthful, it's the lead organization behind ANSPEG. When APCO started working on the idea of a plastics pact in our region, they worked with government and industry equally to understand the need and the purpose of such a plastic program. And then last year in May, we finally launched with members representing brand owners, packaging manufacturers, waste and recycling industry, government, academia, NGOs. So it's really a collective effort to tackle the problem of plastic waste in our region.
No, I think it is great because it is such a big issue. No one's going to be able to tackle it on their own. And it is that kind of the power of people and organizations all striving and working together. There are some really ambitious targets that all of the members have agreed to work towards. Like, I don't know, for example, being 100% reusable, recyclable, or compostable packaging by 2025. How are we tracking in terms of these really ambitious targets?
So, yeah, we've got four, we call them regional plastic targets, and they are very ambitious. But members are working towards to achieve them by 2025. And these four different ones, you mentioned 100% of plastic packaging being reusable, recyclable, or compostable. So there are different members working in different areas. We've got many members that are running reuse trials to see what works in which region to potentially roll that out in a bigger scale. We've got things like the ARL, the Australasian recycling logo that can be placed on more and more packaging in Australia and New Zealand to support more recyclable packaging on market and at the same time help consumers understand in which bin do I put this packaging. We've got another target which is all about eliminating unnecessary and problematic plastic packaging, through things like redesign or innovation or alternative delivery models like reuse. And we have already good examples in different countries working towards this. For example, bans. We've got in all our ANSPEG countries now, or all nearly all of them, we've got bans in place for certain single-use plastic packaging. For example, in Australia, in November, we soon have quite a wide range of bans on plastic straws, stirrers, cutleries, plates, bowls. Vanuatu has plastic bags banned, disposable containers, Fiji plastic bags. So a lot is going on to work towards these targets. But to reach them, it's not going to be easy by any means. And we are aware of that, but members are very active in working towards them, and we're constantly monitoring and supporting them to do so further.
No, it is really exciting. And I think when you look at a country like Australia with each kind of state government having their own bans, as well as kind of federal kind of saying, we'd like you to do this, it can be quite confusing. And especially for business owners as well, kind of where do they fit in? What bans are going to impact them and everything like that. And I think as well, 2025 is quickly approaching, as I'm sure you know of, but I think it is getting that momentum and getting everybody on board. And as you said, if we've got the whole industry and the whole kind of organizations that are working towards it, it's not just one small cafe who's decided that they're only going to have reusable packaging by 2025. Mm-hmm. It's everybody, which I think is really exciting to see.
It's really collective. Yeah, that is the strength behind it.
Amazing. So then aside from the plastic pact, what are some of the other projects that APCO are working on? I know that you've just spoken about the ARL, but what's kind of something that's really exciting you at the moment?
Oh, I actually have to repeat myself because I think that APCO has this fantastic program that hopefully many listeners already know, the Australasian Recycling Label, or ARL for short. It's this label that helps industry and consumers because industry can put it on their pack after they went through this really robust testing process where the packaging is analyzed or the material is analyzed and tested if it's really recyclable in practice and in scale. And then the consumer, it gives the consumer the confidence that an item is not just theoretically recyclable if it has the recycling icon on the pack, but that the right facilities are in place in Australia or New Zealand, that it is, that there is a collection system that can take the packaging and bring it to the facility and make sure that it goes through the correct recycling process. I find this very cool because when I moved to Australia 15 years ago, I tried to understand the recycling system here, and that would have really helped me. And to be quite honest, it still helps me these days with some of these really tricky packaging that we have. So I think the ARL is a really cool and program that ATCO is running.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. I think as an educator who's trying to talk to people every day about how to recycle better and what to do and what can happen in this council versus a different council, it is really confusing. And especially in Australia, well, I think it is everywhere around the world, but in particular, I find that people look at the plastic resin codes, which for our listeners who are tuning in today, it's the recycling triangle with a number on the inside. And they look at it and they just go, oh, well, that's the recycling symbol. We need to just put it in the recycling bin. And this can be on things like foams and stuff like that, which cannot actually be recycled. It's just telling us what the type of plastic it is. And that whole system was, it wasn't mandatory at the time. So people would just decide to do it if they wanted to or not. And then again, we've got the just the normal recycling triangle that anybody can throw in any product. So I think it's really great to see that there is regulation behind it and it is making it so much easier. And I think just coming back to your kind of thing about saying how about being a mum, I put up something the other day talking about how the yogurt pouches can be soft plastic recycled, which you can see on the back using the ARL label. And everybody was just going, oh, thank you. This makes me feel not so guilty, because even if I am getting this because my children are hungry and I'm on the go and whatever, at least I know how to properly dispose of it.
Yeah, check the pack, check if there's an ARL logo on it. If not, take another one and then dispose it correctly. Yeah, really important.
No, I think it's really great to see. And I think it just helps as well, because even though recycling isn't the answer, if we can be keeping it in motion and keep it in that circular systems, it will really help.
Yes. And I just recently I heard someone saying that the true recycler is the one that puts it in the bin and then goes into a shop and buys materials made out of recycled content. So I can just call anyone, if you want to make this work, buy recycled as well.
Yes, we need to kind of have that supply and demand, and we need to keep it all going. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Angela. It's been so lovely to have you and to be talking today all about the Plastics Pact, and we'll keep a close eye and see everything that you are all working towards by 2025.
Thank you very, very much, Lottie. It was a pleasure.
This conversation is part of Charter Hall and Banisher's podcast series, Sustainability Further. This series has been designed to inspire Australians to be more environmentally responsible and to take climate action. Sustainability Further is produced by Banish. Charter Hall's purpose is to create better futures by bringing aspirations to life.